Thank you so much for coming and being a part of the service this morning, honoring Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day. What a blessing, what a blessing. And what a blessing it's been for us to be here this week. We're so thankful to Jesus for what He's done and working in hearts and drawing folks close to Him. What an encouragement. And I want to thank Him for His goodness and His grace. I want to thank you for your sacrifice. So many of you have sacrificed in large measure to be out to these meetings. I know it's a little bit out of the ordinary and maybe even a little bit further drive away from the regular routine of things and a little bit further drive away from your regular paths. But thank you for making that sacrifice. And I know many of you asked folks to come, and maybe they didn't come. You just keep circling back around. Don't ever give up on them, and don't ever quit, and don't get discouraged so that you say, well, I just give up. They don't have time to come. You just keep inviting them. I have a friend named Brother Brandon. In fact, for a while he was an assistant over at Trinity Baptist, and he's a pastor now in another place in right on the border of South Carolina and Georgia. And I said, Brandon, how did you get saved? And he said, let me tell you. He said, my mom and dad had gone through a breakup, and he said, it was me and my mom and my sister. And he said, this lady that lived next to us just kept inviting us to church and inviting us to church and inviting us to church. I said, Mom, let's just go and get her off our back. And so they went and they heard the gospel and they got saved. And then he got called to preach, and now he's preaching. That lady's clipping coupons in heaven, isn't she? Just rejoicing over what God's doing. And I just want to remind us that God's working this week. And God's worked in some amazing ways. The first couple that came forward, they saw a Facebook event, and they came because of that. And the lady got saved, or the man got saved, and the lady got right with God. And so that's a blessing. And then we had someone else get saved through the week in the meeting. And then we had a man get saved on the campus of Georgia, in the University of Georgia. And the gospel going out 6 hours, 7 hours, 7 hours, and 8 hours. What a blessing that was. Praise the Lord for that. And then we had somebody get saved last night. And I don't know if you know this, but we had the meeting postponed, or we moved it from Friday night to Saturday night. And, you know, we've never done that before. And Brother Josh, he was asking me, he said, what do you think about this, Brother Dwight? I said, well, I like football, and I'm glad to go to a football game. And so I was glad for that. And then we went to the football game, and it was postponed because of lightning. And then it was postponed again because of lightning. Well, if it hadn't been postponed, I wouldn't have had the chance to meet a young man that was just standing there. He was with Winder. Winder, is that the way you say it? Winder? He was with Winder. He was there to support the marching band. He had played in the marching band. And I just struck up a conversation. We started talking about instruments and music and accordions. And he started asking me about accordion and said he'd like to play. And so I said, well, can I give this to you? This is an invitation to a special event we're having, and I'd like to invite you. And I said, can I ask you a question? I'd be curious to know if anybody's ever asked you this question. Do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't. I said, has anybody ever asked you that question? He said, yeah, a lot of people. I said, well, has someone recently shared with you from the Bible how you could know you're going to heaven? And he said, well, last time was about a year ago. I said, well, can I share with you a few verses? Now, this is all while the lightning is striking and a little bit of raindrops, and they're postponing it in the background. We're standing waiting to get in the game. If that hadn't happened, I'd have never met him. We had just all rushed in like a bunch of cattle and sat down, and who knows what would have happened. And then it started to really rain, and there's not really a place to stand under right there at the gate of the school. And so I said, you know, it's raining. I said, do you want to get in the truck and get you out from the rain? He said, sure. So he got in the truck, and I just went right to John 3:16 and shared with him the great God that we have, and the great love that He showed, and the great sacrifice of His Son, and the great choice that we're given, and the great faith that we can put in Jesus, and our great object of our faith, Jesus, and the great salvation that He gives, and the great promise. And he got saved. You know, he'd have never got saved if that lightning hadn't struck. And you know, God's in all of that. And he likely would have never gotten saved if we'd kept the meeting through Friday. You know, so God is in all of those. The Lord, man deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his step. And thank God for that. And then after the service on Saturday, we still got to go see the game. And And they won! It was amazing. It was amazing. You're going to have to ask Brother Wes all about it. It was amazing. And we got there and we thought it was 28-5. We thought, oh, this is a washout. I mean, the Eagles, they're just creaming this other team. It wasn't. It was 28-35, but the three wasn't showing. And so then they won. Oh, it was unbelievable. That was a nail biter right there at the end. Thank God for it. We would have just thought it was a blowout if some guys hadn't told us the three isn't working. It's 35-28. We said, what? And then, oh, I better not waste any more time talking about it, but it was a nail biter. I'm sure glad you guys did that, and we're glad to be able to have a part of it all. Thank God for every bit of it. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless our time in His Word. Father, thank You for the privilege that You've given us to meet together as a local body. Thank You for these dear brothers and sisters that have come out night after night in these meetings and prayed and given and sacrificed and invited. And Lord, I just thank You for all that's gone into this week. What a sweet blessing it's been. And Lord, I thank You now for what You're going to do in this service. I thank You for how You're going to work. I thank You, Lord, for drawing people to Yourself. And I pray that You'd strengthen every one of Your believers here this morning. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that You will work in a very unusual way in our service. May Jesus Christ be honored and glorified and magnified. May we not soon forget what You do right now. And thank You, Lord, that You're always working. And that You're working mightily. And that You're working here. And that You're working now. And that You want to work through us. I pray that we'd be available. Thank You for the sweet spirit in Sunday school. And for the reminder that the fields are white. Thank You so much for Brother Canavan and his family. And his representation of Your work in India and now in Fiji. We pray Your continued blessing upon that. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do in this service. We give You all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to ask one question this morning that will get our minds around a subject that all of us need. And the question is, why does God not answer prayer? Why does God not answer prayer? Now, we know that He answers prayer. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. He said, to him that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. But sometimes we find that God does not answer prayer. Why? Why? If we'll answer that question, we can answer the question why God does answer prayer. And if we can answer that question and we can begin to pray a faithful way and a fruitful way, God will begin to work in our lives. So why does God not answer prayer? I'm speaking to you on this subject this morning. Why God does not answer prayer. And I want us to have it clear in our mind when we leave the answer to this question so that we can remove whatever obstacles need to be removed so that we can get answers to prayer in our own lives. I want you to notice John chapter 8. Your Bibles are open to John chapter 8 in the Scripture. And I want to draw your attention to what the Bible says in verse 44. Now, I hope you came this morning with your page-turning fingers ready to go. If you didn't, they're going to get some exercise and you may have to take a ibuprofen for the soreness in the morning. So here you go. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus, speaking to the most self-righteous, moral people outwardly of their day, He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Reason number one why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying may not be saved. The one praying may not be saved. Now listen to me carefully. There are two groups of people in this world, not many groups. Mark those that want to divide us all up into several little groups. Mark that person. That person is either deceived or they're a deceiver. God doesn't divide us into all kinds of different groups of tall and short and fat and skinny and red, yellow, black and white and poor and rich. God doesn't get into all that. There's two groups of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are not saved. Those who are saved are part of God's family. Those who are not saved are not a part of God's family. It's no more complicated than that. All of us, when we're born, are born not in God's family. And that's why we need to be born again into God's family. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ and you've never been saved, today is the day you should be born into God's family. Today is the day you should be adopted into His family. And do you know there's no stronger way that you could be than to be born into a family and adopted into that same family. You say, how is that possible? By being born again. By being saved. Now, if you're not saved, God is not under any obligation to answer your prayer. He may or may not answer your prayer, but He's not under any obligation to answer your prayer. He's not obligated Himself. He's not promised that He'll answer the prayer of those who are non-believers. Now, He may or He may not. And I think there's a case where God heard the prayers of Cornelius in Acts chapter 11, even before he was saved, Acts chapter 10 and 11. But the fact is He's not under obligation. He's not bound by that. But He binds Himself to answer the prayers of those who are His own. In John chapter 8, 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. You see, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're like all of us once were, who were at one time not saved. Your father is the devil. Now, I'm not saying that to insult anyone. I'm not saying that to offend anyone. I'm saying that to be firm and plain in my speech. If you're not here, if you're not saved and you're here today without Christ, then your father is the devil. All of us once had the devil as a father. And my, what an awful father he is. He wouldn't even classify as kind. He wouldn't classify as loving. He wouldn't classify as caring. He's an awful father. I was preaching in New Hampshire many years ago and stayed in the home of the Shangles, and the Shangles had adopted a couple of kids. They couldn't afford to adopt all three from the family, but they adopted two. And when they found these kids, they found them abandoned in their crib. One had a cord tied around their neck and tied to the crib, and only the Lord knows how long they'd been there. And when they told me this, I thought, that is very much like the devil. Just abandoning his own, using them for his own purposes. And that's what he does to someone that's not saved. You know, if you're here today and you're not saved, there's a whole lot of people in this room that would long for you to trust Christ today. They've been praying that this would be a soul-saving station this week and a soul-saving station this morning. And the best thing you could do is come to Jesus and by faith believe that He died and rose again. Romans chapter 8, if you'd like to turn there. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 15. Romans chapter 8, you'll turn to your right just a couple of books, John, Acts, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Quickly, notice what the Bible says. Romans 8 and verse 15 says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse number 15 is clear that God hath given us the spirit of adoption. That means we're in a new family. The spirit itself, verse 16, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In other words, God wants to answer the prayers of His own. Reason number one why God does not answer prayers, because the one praying may not be saved. And if you're here today and you've never been saved and you're not getting your answers, you pray but you don't get answers to prayer. You go to God, He doesn't seem to hear you. Your prayers don't get past the ceiling. The heaven is brass. It may be because you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Now, if you have, you shouldn't concern yourself with that. You should see what else it may be, the difficulty. But if you're here and you're not saved, that's the problem. You see, if a kid, random kid off the street came up to me and said, hey, would you give me $5? I may or I may not. I may have it to give them. I may give it to them. I may want to give it to them. I may not. But I'm not under obligation. I don't feel any compelling. I don't feel any burden to give some random kid off the street. I might say, hey, go ask your dad. Or I don't know. I might just dismiss it altogether. But I might answer that kid's prayer. I'm not under obligation. But now if my kids come to me and they say, hey, Dad, I need $5. I'm going to the store. I need a little drink. Can you support me $5? I'm glad to do that. Why? They're my child. I long to answer the request of my children. I long to meet their needs. I'm their father. I want to stand in that stead. Now watch here and listen closely. Reason number one why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying may not be saved. Look at James chapter 4. Would you? James chapter 4. That's over a little bit closer to Revelation. Keep going to the right and you'll find the book of James chapter 4. I want you to see it from the Word of God. I want us to see it with our own two eyes and hear it with our own two ears. James chapter 4 in the Scripture. Right after Hebrews, you'll find James. Right before 1st and 2nd Peter, you'll find James, a little book of five chapters. James chapter 4, verse number 1. James chapter 4 and verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you, the Bible says. Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye fight and war and cannot obtain. Watch it. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. Reason number two why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is not praying. The one praying is not praying. Look at what he says. Watch it. Watch it. He says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not because ye ask not. Now that seems simple. Jesus said it in this way in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Ask. Jeremiah 33, 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The reason number two why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is not praying. Are you praying? Well, if you're not praying and you haven't asked God for it, how do you expect God to answer your prayer? How do you expect God to answer a prayer that hasn't been asked? The one praying is not praying. Our God, the great God of the universe, the creator of the world, the maker of heaven and earth, has invited you to pray. He says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, let us therefore come boldly unto the... Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God wants you to pray. He invites you to pray. Have you been invited to the president's Oval Office? Have you been invited to the prime minister's house in England? Have you been invited to see the king of England? No, but you've been invited by the King of Kings to pray. Why would you not seize upon that invitation? Why would you not meet that appointment? Why would you not come into the presence of the great God of the universe and ask? He invites you to come. He wants you to come. He's expecting you to come. Ask. Ask is an amazing thing. You ought to try it sometime. It's amazing what God does when His people ask, when His children ask. You say, well, I'm not worthy. That's not what He said. None of us are worthy of being in His presence. We're made worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ when we place our faith in Jesus and we accept His gift of eternal life. And He brings us and prepares us and readies us to come into His presence. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. He says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye could ask or think. You know what that means? Here's the Dwight Smith version. You ready with what that means? God wants to knock your socks off with His answer. He wants to do something that you can't even conceive. You can't even imagine. You couldn't fit it in a little flow chart or a little data sheet. You couldn't write it down and explain it if you wanted to. Why? Because it's succeeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That means if you can think it, God can do it. And actually, He can do way more. He can do way more. So now listen closely. God wants to hear and answer your prayer. But if you don't pray, how's He going to do that? How's He going to do that? Now, I don't know how it is with you parents, but with me, I have 5 kids. Some of them are grown, 23 all the way down to 8. And some of my kids, for some reason, don't like to ask me. They're hesitant. They're afraid I might say no. They're wondering why I don't just see and read their brain cells, all 3 of them. Some of them, they don't understand. And so they don't ask. But now some of my kids have no problem asking. And I'll tell you, for those of you that have younger kids, this is the way it's been from the very get-go. So you know what the ones who are a little bit more hesitant to ask do? They go to the ones who are not hesitant to ask, and they get them to ask for them. Isn't that something? It's amazing how these kids are and how different they are. But you know, you don't have to do that. You can get others to ask on your behalf. Why don't you ask? Why don't you come? Reason number 2 why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying or the one asking is not praying. They're not asking. Do you understand that the word pray means ask? When we come to the Lord, we praise. When we come to the Lord, we offer a petition. When we come to the Lord, we confess. We thank God. We do a few things. But the basic essence of the word pray means ask, to ask. Reason number three why God does not answer prayer. Look at verse 3, James 4. Look at it. Verse number 3, James chapter 4 and verse number 3. Reason number 3 why God does not answer prayer. Verse number 3 of James 4, it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Watch me now. Reason number 3 why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is praying selfishly. The one praying is praying selfishly. In other words, what God is saying is you have to pray a right way when you come. You have to pray with a heart right with the Lord when you come. You have to pray with a heart in love with Jesus when you come and not in love with the world. How do you suppose it would work, ladies, if when you came to your husband and you asked him for something, maybe a new dress or maybe a night out or maybe a steak dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse or maybe a weekend trip, you asked him for that while holding the hand of another man. Now, how would that work? He's a preacher, that wouldn't work. Why do you even bring up such pictures in our minds on Sunday morning? Well, I'm trying to make you a point. Again, look at what he says. He says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And then he accuses them of being adulterers and adulteresses. He charges them with this. Why? I don't think this was necessarily they were involved in physical adultery, although if they were, they were being confronted. He's confronting them because they were trying to come to Jesus, to whom they are betrothed, while being in love with the world. You can't do that. That defies reason. It defies good sense. We shouldn't be in love with the world, not in our entertainment or our music or our attire or our loves or ambitions or our dreams or our thinking or our philosophies. No, we come to the Lord single-minded, single-focused. It's a good relationship when the husband knows his wife has only eyes for him. It's a good relationship when the wife has the understanding that her husband has only eyes for her. Watch, he says, ye ask and receive not, that you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, the reason God does not answer prayer, number 3, is because the one praying is praying selfishly. They're praying thinking they can hold on to the world and hold on to Jesus at the same time. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. In other words, look, I'll never understand this, Pastor. I'll never understand how a young person who has been completely awash up to their eyeballs in the sewage and rot and filth of this world can be climbing out of that and coming to church and trying to figure out what grace is and accept Jesus and grow in Christ. And at the same time, a young person is passing them, climbing out of a good situation with a good home, with parents that have brought them to church and a good sound setting, and they're climbing right down into the sewage of this world at the same time. I'll never understand that. And why would you expect God to answer your prayer when you're making footsie with the devil? Why would you expect God to answer your prayer when you're praying only selfishly to consume it upon your lust? He says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Number 3, reason number 3 why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is praying selfishly. The one praying is not saved. The one praying is not praying. The one praying is praying selfishly. I want you to consider what the Bible says. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. When? When I regard iniquity in my heart. When I regard and I harbor and I allow and I hold on to iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me. But I love what the next verse says, Psalm 66, 19. It says, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my supplication and prayer. In other words, you know what he's saying? He's saying, God has heard me. I have not regarded iniquity in my heart. Do you know when you're here this morning and you're harboring sin in your heart, God is going to go deaf. Somebody ought to preach a message when God goes deaf. God goes deaf when you allow sin in your life. And if you harbor sin in your life and you still have sin in your life even after a week of preaching, if you still are harboring sin, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I have a friend out in Arizona, and he and a church member of his went out to eat with, we went out to eat together, and he told me, this friend of his, he told me that when his dad died in his late 50s, he knew he was wealthy, but he didn't know how wealthy. But he and all of his brothers and sisters, now this man was in his 50s when his dad died, he and all of his brothers and sisters were set for the rest of their life. They had plenty of money. He said, so I decided to do what I wanted to do all my life. I bought a small yacht and sailed around the world. And he stood there at the church map and he pointed out where he left in San Diego and where he went over to the islands and where he went over to Irian Jaya and went to Indonesia and went over to India, sailed down on the Cape of India and went over to Africa and came into all these ports, went down to the southern part of Africa and South Africa, came up the western side and went all the way back over to the Caribbean. And he said, when we came into a port, we had to have our papers in order. And that country could either decide to accept or reject us. Well, let me say, when sin comes into your port, every time you should reject their papers. Every time their papers are forged. Every time they're promising something that they cannot deliver. Every time they are bringing trouble with them, you should always move them on to the next port. You can go to some other port, but you can't harbor here. And David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I harbor iniquity in my heart, if I allow it to stay, if I allow it to nestle down, if I allow it to make room, the Lord will not hear me. So reason number four why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is not right with God. Are you right with God this morning? Your sins confessed? Your heart clean? Did you put your head on the pillow of a clean conscience last night? Is there something between you and the Lord that's not right that you need to confess and make right? Is there something between you and another that you need to confess and make right? Is your heart right with God? If not, then that's why you're not getting your answers to prayer. You should get answers to prayer on a regular basis. You should have a clear channel between you and God of communication where you can call Him freely and there's no elephant in the room and there's no problem between you and Him and there's no problem between you and another. And you should get answers to prayer. John R. Rice said it shouldn't be unusual for a Christian to get an answer to prayer every day. I believe that. In fact, I would challenge you, and maybe I already have, to go down to Walmart and buy a calendar and a pen and put it up in your house and start trying to fill in every day with an answer to prayer. You'd be amazed that when you pray directly and specifically and with a heart clean, what God would do on your behalf. And sometimes there'll be little answers to prayer that you pray for one or two times. And sometimes there'll be big answers to prayer that you've been praying for years. Wow. Are you able to do that? Are you confident right now that if you went before the Lord, your heart's clean? You said, preacher, best I know. Well, good. But if there's not, if there's something between you and the Lord, move it out. Years ago, an old black preacher named Charles Tinley was preaching. He was preparing for his message on a Saturday night. And as he prepared for his message on a Saturday night, he just began to notice some shadows cast across his work. And he looked up and he saw a piece of paper had blown between him and the oil lamp that was there. And he reached to take it and throw it in the trash. And he realized, wow, there are sure a lot of things that come between me and the Lord. And he sat down and wrote the words, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's elusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasures. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between my soul and the Savior." I want to ask, is there something between you and Him? Reason number four why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is not right with God. You're either right with God as a Christian this morning or you're not. You're either in tune with Him or you're not. Which is it? Notice, I want you to notice 1 John 5. You're in James. Turn to your right just a little bit to 1 John 5. Just a few books. You'll come past 1 and 2 Peter. And then 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. You're almost to Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. I love this promise. 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Reason number 5 why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying, watch it now, is not praying in the will of God. Let me say it again. Reason number 5 why God does not answer prayer is because the one praying is not praying in the will of God. When Jesus modeled the prayer that we're to pray, or gave us a pattern to pray, He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." What's the next part? "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Has God's will been done on earth as it is in heaven, in Georgia, everywhere this week? Has God's will been done in Athens as it is in heaven, everywhere this week? Now, in some places, certainly it has been. In the lives of those Christians that are seeking to honor God, it has been. And they've ordered their life so that the will of God takes primacy over everything. Not their happiness, not their satisfaction, not their peace or contentment, but the will of God. But it hasn't been everywhere. And that's why Jesus said we should pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." In other words, to the Christian mindset and to the Christian thinking, God's will takes precedence over everything. One reason why we came this month in August is because we believe it was the will of God. And I believe He's proven that to be the case. We believe it's been God's will. And we go in that mindset. And we leave in that mindset that we're doing the will of God. When you're not sure if you're doing the will of God, there's uncertainty everywhere. And so when we pray, we're to pray with the confidence that we're praying in the will of God. Look at it again, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. God wants us to live confident lives. He doesn't want us to live uncertain lives. He wants us to live confident lives. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. In other words, when you're praying in the will of God, you're praying according to the will of the Father. It's as good as done. It's as good as done. Now, there are certain things that my kids could come ask me for, and I would look at them like this. What? Why would you even ask such a thing like that? Right? They know not to ask some things of me because they know it doesn't align with what our family mindset is and our family mission is. It doesn't line up with that. They know not to ask that. But there are some things they can ask and say, "Hey, Dad, what if we did this today?" And I say, "Ooh, that's a good idea. It's as good as done." Right? We have the wherewithal. We have the ability to do it. We have the time to do it. It's as good as done. Let's do it. "Hey, Dad, let's go play soccer. Hey, Dad, let's go play top golf. Hey, lad, let's go toss some football. Hey, Dad, let's go, can you help me on a project that I have? If I can and I am able," and is there any question that God can or that God is able? You see, the question is it His will? Now, there are certain things we know are His will, right? We know it's His will that everybody be saved. Not God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When you, sir, come before God, and you pray for someone to be saved, it is His will every time. You can pray confidently, and you can pray in faith, believing that that person will be saved. And whether you see it or not, whether they get saved while you're here on this earth or not, you can pray with confidence that that person, and we should pray with confidence that that person will be saved. When you're praying for a wayward son or daughter, a backslidden Christian to get right, you can pray with confidence saying, "This is the will of God." You don't have to wonder. You don't have to be uncertain when you're praying for a God to meet a need that has been clearly laid out. You can pray with confidence that that is the will of God. It is the will of God. But now listen closely. There are some things we're not sure about. Let me explain. My sister was 40 when she got cancer. She had cancer for 4 years, struggled with it valiantly, and the Lord took her home to heaven when she was 44. We prayed, that God would spare her life. She had 11 children, 9 were still at home when she went to glory. And so it was hard for us to even imagine how it would be anything but God's will to do anything but heal her. When you're praying for something like that, sometimes you don't know. Right? Sometimes you're not sure. It's not laid out in Scripture. It's not given in clear, plain revelation in the Word of God. And so you pray and you say, "Lord, if it's Your will, would You do this?" It would be hard for us to understand why it wouldn't be His will. God has a plan that we don't understand. And sometimes He does things that we can't comprehend. But you know, we can still trust Him. I remember being at her funeral. We went up there in early November of 2002, up on the hill outside of Whitfield, Virginia, in rural retreat. And that was where we laid her to rest. And we came back to the church. During the service and during the funeral, I was sitting on the platform because I had part in the funeral. And there was a high-pitched, squeaky amen from right about here in the auditorium. And I went and I looked. And I thought, that sounds like Sister So-and-so. But all I saw was a bald head. I said, well, that can't be Sister So-and-so. And so I just said, well, it must be somebody else. Maybe a man, just in an emotional moment, had a high-pitched, squeaky voice. We came back from burying my sister and we came back to the church. And there was a meal set by the gracious people of Fellowship Baptist Church in Whitfield. And I ate the meal and went to get the dessert. And when I came to around the corner to get the dessert, there she was. An old lady in her 80s. And she had a baseball cap pulled down over her bald head. And she was serving the dessert line. And she said, hey, Brother Dwight. I said, hey. I said, I wasn't expecting to see you. She said, yep. She said, here I am. She said, I got my last chemo treatment next week. And the devil crawled right up on my shoulder. And he said, there you go. There's your God. There he is. Your sister chose not to go with chemo. She went the natural route and she's dead. She had 9 children still at home. There's this 80-some-year-old lady who's got grandkids and great-grandkids. She chose chemo, and she's still alive. That's how good your God is. It seemed like time froze for just a moment. I had a choice. To yield to the will of God. Though I didn't understand it, and quite honestly don't really understand it now. I miss my sister something terrible. She was the sweetest, one of the sweetest things I've ever met. She was one of the godliest ladies I've ever known. I had to brush the devil off my shoulder and dismiss whatever he was trying to do. You mark it down. When you go through difficult times, the devil will show up and offer his counseling services. He'll try to tell you what is and what is not and who God is and who God is not and the way things are and the way they are not. I don't understand why that lady was still alive and my sister was in the grave. I don't know that I'll ever understand it until I see Jesus. But you know, God chose to heal my sister like we were praying. He just chose to heal her completely. And she's been whole since 2002. And she's not been looking down wishing she could come back. I guarantee it. We've all been wishing we could go up there. Do you see? So what am I saying? When we pray, we resign ourselves to whatever God's will is. Lord, there are some things when I'm praying, I don't know if this is your will or not. But whatever your will is, that's what I want. If this is your will, do it. I'm trusting you to do it. If this is your will, and if it's not, I'm trusting you to do what is not, even though I may not understand it. Watch it now. James chapter 5. Turn back to James 5. Now, I've put these points right next to each other because they may seem contradictory, but they're not. James 5, back to James. James 5, look at what the Bible says in verse number 14. James 5, 14, quickly, we have just a couple more to see. James 5, verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you notice what he said? He said the prayer of faith. Watch this. Why does God not answer prayer? Because the one praying may not be saved. Because the one praying is not praying. Because the one praying is praying selfishly. Because the one praying is not right with God. Because the one praying is not praying in the will of God. Watch this. Number 5, the one praying is not praying in faith. In other words, when I come to God, I need to make sure that my heart's right with God. That I'm praying selflessly instead of selfishly. That I'm actually praying. That I'm praying in the will of God. Lord, I'm resigned to your will. Whatever that is, that's what I want more than anything else. And now I need to pray in faith. Pray believing. Don't come doubting God. Don't start your prayer thinking it probably won't happen. Now, some people see the glass always half empty. You probably should get rid of that mindset when you pray. That's not going to help you in your prayer life. You need to say, God, I'm believing that you will. And I'm thanking you that you will. In fact, when you move from praying, asking, to thanking, there's a great power in that. When you start to praise the Lord instead of just petition the Lord, there's a great power in that. Jehoshaphat routed a whole army just by getting the men's choir up to sing and praise God. They were defeated in 2 Chronicles 20. He says the same thing in James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You want to get your prayers answered? Believe God. There's no greater compliment someone can give you than to believe your word. And there's no greater compliment that you can give to God than to believe His word. And quite frankly, there's no greater way to get your prayers answered than that way. We want to see God continue the results of revival. Let's pray. And let's pray believing. And let's not just end the whole thing when the tent comes down tomorrow. Let's pray believing. And let's say, God, rout out the devil in Athens. And rout out the devil in Jefferson County. And rout out the devil in Jackson County. Rout out the devil. And Lord, send him on the run. Wouldn't it be good to see the devil on the run? I'd like to see the devil on the run. He's been acting out of desperation. We got to see him on the run. All right, quickly now turn to two final passages and we're through. Back to your left to John 14, would you? John chapter 14. John 14, two passages right next to you. Watch, notice John 14. Look at what the Bible says. John 14 and verse 13. John chapter 14 and verse 13. We started in John, we're ending in John. Notice John 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever, Jesus now is giving final instructions to His disciples, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer or ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Wow. I love that, don't you? I love the simplicity of God's promises, don't you? Wow. He says, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. It's the same thing when He says, whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, believing, ye shall receive. Wow. That means I can come, not in My name. I'm not coming in the name of Pastor Jennings, good a man as he is. And I sure love him and appreciate his friendship and the great, great time we've had co-laboring together. But I'm not coming in Pastor Jennings' name. I'm not coming in the name of Crooked Creek. Far as I know, Crooked Creek has a good name and has been working long and hard. 222 years old. What a blessing to have that long of a history as a church and ups and downs. But forward for the Lord. What a tremendous blessing and a good name. But I'm not coming in the name of Crooked Creek. I'm not coming in the name of the Smith family. I'm coming in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm coming through His merits. I'm coming through His shed blood. In other words, God has given us a blank check with the name of Jesus, and He's saying, cash it in. You say, well, it's not that simple. He says, if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I know what somebody does. Somebody comes along and says, well, that doesn't mean this. And it doesn't mean that. And it doesn't include this. And it doesn't... Stop. Just stop. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to put an addendum to God's promises? Why do we have to come and put this qualifier and that qualifier, this qualifier and that? Why can't we just simply take God at His promise? Isn't that good enough? He says, whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, I will do it. That's as good as done. I'm going to come with a check signed with the name of Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name, that name at which every knee shall bow, that name through which there is salvation and there is no salvation in any other name. That name, the name of Jesus, is the name that gives me ability and authority and access and assurance when I come into the presence of the Father. Wow. I want to ask, have you come in His name? He says, whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Look at John 15 and we're done. John 15. Notice verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. This is our final point. Why does God not answer prayer? Well, the one praying is not may not be saved. If you're not saved, I pray in just a few moments when we give our invitation that you'll make that choice to be saved. Number two, the reason that God does not answer prayers, the one praying is not praying. They're not asking. Reason number three, the one praying is praying selfishly. Reason number four, the one praying is not right with God. Reason number five, the one praying is not praying in the will of God. Reason number six, the one praying is not praying in faith. Reason number seven, the one praying is not praying in Jesus' name. But look at reason number eight and we're through. Look at it, John 15 and verse 7. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Why does God not answer prayer? Because the one praying, I don't know how to put this. I think I need some help. Maybe you could put this better than me. How do I word verse number 7? I think this is the best way I can do it. The one praying is not at home with Jesus, and Jesus is not at home with him. The one praying is not mutually abiding. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. He says this in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what that means? It means make a place for his word. Make a place for him to nestle down. And his word to have root, to take root. How many of you are gardeners here in the building? Who in the audience is a gardener? You. How many of you are trying to be a gardener? Okay, nobody's willing to own up to it. My neighbor, he and his wife, they have a green thumb. He just went home to be with the Lord. Oh, man, he could just grow anything. And people came from near and far to see his flowers and his garden. Amazing, amazing. But you know, when you're getting ready to plant a seed, you take that seed and you put it down. Maybe you put it in a cup, put some holes in the cup. And you let it germinate, and you let it die there, and you let it sit in the sun, you water it just a little bit, not too much. You take it out, and you put it down, you nestle a little place there. There's a place for that seed right here in your garden, and you hope it will bear much fruit. My daughter, Audra, we just gave her a couple kittens. It's a bad mistake. My boys are all against it, and my dog Toby is against it. But my wife was for it, and so we became for it. And you know what she does? She takes those kittens and she puts them to bed every night in their little cage. And she's got a little place and she takes such good care of them. And she takes them out every day and she holds them in her arm. And she takes them to their food and she makes sure they have a little bed to sleep in. It's just really ridiculous, all this foo-for-all over a cat. But you know, that's the idea. That's the way we should be with Jesus. And with his word, there's nothing in this world more important than his word having a nest, having a special place, having first place, having prominence in my life. I must get to Jesus and I must let his word sink down deep in my heart. I want it to have first place and prominent place and the best place in my heart. And that's what I want to think of. I want to think of his word. Now listen to me carefully. Is he abiding in you through his word? Are you abiding in him? Look at what he says, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. We've got a promise. There's nothing more clear than this. If we're not getting our answers to prayer, it's not God's fault. It's because his word has not found rest and a place of prominence, and we've not abided in him. Now, wouldn't you like to leave today, getting your prayers answered? Maybe you came and you've been wondering, I don't know why my prayers haven't been answered lately. Well, maybe God's shown you in these last 8 points. Maybe it's because you're not saved. Won't you get saved today? Maybe it's because you're not praying. Or because you're not right with God. Or you're praying selfishly. Or maybe it's because you're not praying in faith or not praying in the will of the Father. Or you're not praying in Jesus' name, that name which is above every name. Or maybe because you're not at home with Jesus and his word is not at home with you. God doesn't want you to go day after day without getting answers to prayer. He has a whole storehouse in heaven full of your orders that are way better than Amazon. And the way that you fulfill them is you do things His way. Father, would You help us to be known as people that get our prayers answered? Lord, we struggle with this sometimes because we try to figure things out on our own. And we want to do things our way. We think that we can handle it and we don't need Your help. And that's when we get in a mess. But Lord, would You work? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if you're here just now and you say, Brother Dwight, there are certain things that I don't know, but there's one thing I do know. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I'm not hoping or wishing or thinking I'll go to heaven. I know I'm going. If you can't say that, please don't raise your hand. But if you do know that for a fact, would you slip your hand up high? Preacher, I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Thank you. May put your hands down. I wonder, is there anybody here that said, Brother Dwight, I don't know that. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. I need to know and I want to know, but I don't know. Would you pray for me? Yes, I will. I'll not embarrass you or single you out, but I want to pray for you. Is there someone in this building like that? Preacher, I'm the one that you mentioned first that's not saved, or I'm not sure that I'm saved, and I need to get that settled. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Is there anybody here like that? Slip it up. Say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I need to know and I want to know. And I want to know today. Anyone at all, slip up your hand. Put it right back down. All right, question number three. How many of you would say, Brother Dwight, my need is that I'm not right with God. There's some sin that I'm regarding in my heart that I need to get right, that I need to confess. I need to come back to the Lord and stop praying selfishly or praying with God in one hand and the world in the other. Would you pray for me? I need to get right with the Lord as a Christian. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Is there anyone here like that? Amen. Is there another? Say, Preacher, pray for me. Something in my heart is not right. God bless you. Good. Is there someone else? Preacher, pray for me. I need to get something right. Thank you. Anyone else along with these? Thank you. God bless you. Oh, God wants to move those channels clear. You know, when you don't get your Amazon order in, you said there's something wrong. Maybe I didn't get an email. How do I get a hold of them? Why has that I got my order? We ought to be more concerned about getting our prayers answered than we are getting our Amazons ordered. Question number four. I want to ask if you'd say, Brother Dwight, I really have not been mutually abiding in Christ and letting His Word abide in me. I've been busy. As far as I know, I'm right with the Lord. There's nothing between me and Jesus. But I just have not made a priority of letting God's Word abide in me and me abide in Him. If that's you, would you slip up your hand and say, Preacher, that's the answer right there for me. That's what God's spoken to my heart about. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. The